Good morning, Vancouver Church. It's good to be back with you again, both my wife and I. In fact, if you haven't met Heidi before, she's down here on my left, your right, sitting down here in the front. And we're again very excited to come back and be with you. I just want to take a minute to say that it's always exciting for me as an evangelistic speaker to come back to a place that believes in what we're doing. And to work with a pastor and a pastoral team and the pastor's family here that loves evangelism. And I know you do too. In fact, at a time when many churches are canceling the opportunity to do this very thing, your church stepped in and said, no, this might be an excellent time to do it. Right? I just will let you in on a little bit of inside information that as of now, we have about 77 guests pre-registered. Amen. Right? Now, if even half of those show up, right, if even half of them do, what a wonderful opportunity to minister to them. And I think it's a good time to remind ourselves that just one soul, how many? One soul is worth more than a whole world of property, houses, lands, and money, right? One soul. So, wow, you know, if we get people coming in the door tonight, and these meetings are not just for outside, these meetings are for all of us, aren't they? Right? These meetings are for me. You know, when you express something, you internalize it. So I'm speaking out, but I'm speaking to myself too. So we're all in this together, aren't we? Because we can all grow. And again, I want to just thank you for the opportunity to be a part of it with you. Let me pray as we have a short prayer as we open up this morning. Gracious Father, what times we live in. Sobering, serious times. And yet you've called us to a work. And we're grateful for that calling. Because in that calling, we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling as we stay close to Jesus. And so, Father, as we lead out this morning, again, as been already said, please be with us and guide our minds into your will. We pray in Jesus. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles or you have some kind of electronic device or you just want to follow along on the screen, you can open up to Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, I suppose this is one of the most quoted and often repeated texts in the Bible. And so it should be. There's a great deal of encouragement in this text, isn't there? And can we read it all out loud together? Okay, we don't do that a lot, but let's read it out loud together. Romans 8, 28, here we go. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Right? So what do all things do? They work together, right? And as we look out and we view the world tonight, things seem to be working at cross purposes with each other, don't they? But all things are working together, and they're working together for what? For good, right? But not for good for everybody, but good for who? Those who love the Lord, right? Would the Lord like them to work together for good for everybody? He would. That was God's original intention way back in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? But he's given everybody the power of choice. And therefore, it rests with mankind as to whether everything is working together for his or her own personal good. In the affairs of mankind, we must never lose sight of the fact that the eventual triumph of God's purposes will be carried out, right? For those who come to him for salvation. We look out, and what do we see? We see a pretty chaotic world today, don't we? And we're witnessing anarchy. We're witnessing violence and disorder and ungodly living on scales that we really could hardly imagine 20 years ago. But it's all there, isn't it? But nevertheless, we must never forget that those forces that seem to bring defeat and seem to bring discouragement are nevertheless used by God for a final purpose. All things are used by him and working together for good to those who love the Lord. Nothing catches God by surprise. I like that. Right? He's not fooled by it. He sees the end from the beginning, doesn't he? There's nothing that happens out there on the streets of the cities that God has not made provision for. There's nothing too great that God can't use it in his purposes. So much we see a world in confusion and chaos, and yet God looks down from his throne, and guess what? He's got it all under control, doesn't he? Take a look at this beautiful passage here from one of my favorite books, Ministry of Healing. The Bible shows us God in his high and holy place, not in a state of inactivity, not in silence and solitude, but surrounded by 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of holy beings, all waiting to do his will. By his angels, he is in active communication with every part of his dominion. By his Spirit, he is everywhere present. Through the agency of his Spirit and his angels, he ministers to the children of men. Above the distractions of earth, now notice this, God sits enthroned. All things are open to his divine survey, and from his great and calm eternity, he orders that which his providence sees best. Isn't that beautiful? One last little quote here from Desire of Ages. Like the stars in the vast circuit of their appointed path, God's purposes, there's where we get our title for this morning, God's purposes know no haste and no delay. No haste and no delay, what does that say? It's all going as God knew it would, right? Again, nothing catches God by surprise. We see the chaotic lawlessness, and yet we know that was coming, didn't we? That shouldn't catch us by surprise. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and what? Worse, yeah? Deceiving and being deceived. So, and yet God calmly looks down, and he's got it all under control. That gives me courage. And notice our next text here this morning, because really it's a compliment to Romans 8:28, found in 2 Corinthians 13:8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now that's the King James Version there, but the NIV and many other versions say, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. God's eternal truth abides unchanged, irrespective of what men may say or what they may do. Think about it. The enemies of God have always failed. Isn't that true? Right? They've always failed. Doesn't that say something about God being in control? Right? Our world seems so full of chaos, and yet if we are devoted to the truth about our Savior, the truth about the plan of salvation, we've got nothing to fear. If you place yourself on God's side, God takes responsibility for our security, doesn't he? He takes responsibility for our eternal triumph and all those evil forces that are out there. Because to fight against truth is to fight against him who is the truth. John 14:6. And so here's a point. Even the devil ultimately cannot do anything against the truth. You thought about that? Now, he's trying all the time, isn't he? He's trying all the time. But here in this world, it seems like he's having his way. But if you look behind the scenes, God is working out his will and his purposes. Now, here's another great text, Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. God even uses the wrath of men to praise him. Isn't that amazing? Now, man shouldn't get any credit for that. But I think God should get a lot of credit for that. I find it amazing that God could even use the plans of his enemies to do his will. Isaiah 54. Behold, they shall surely gather together. It's talking about the wicked gathering together here. But not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy, the waster or the destroyer, we could say, to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment shall thou condemn. So what is this telling us, this great passage here? God is saying, do you see all those gathering together out there? Right? Do we see a lot of that today? You see all those gathering against you? He says, don't worry. Don't worry. He says, not one weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. He says, I created them. I created that one that made those weapons. They're creatures. They're not creators. Even the one that comes to destroy ultimately will not prosper. And no matter what they may do or what they may seem to do to the church, no weapon is going to work. No rioting. No looting, no COVID-19, not anything that the devil can manage to put together is going to hasten or delay God's purposes. Right? Isn't that good news? Aren't you grateful for these promises in the Bible? Certainly, God, there's many things out there that God would not choose to take place. But if they do take place, if he allows them to take place, he can use it for his purposes. In this great crisis, brothers and sisters, that we are about to enter into, and maybe even now are entering into, we shall need the encouragement that comes from these kind of promises, right? It does us good to go over them, these beautiful things, and appreciate their importance. These verses show us that God will not allow the wicked to do anything until he first weighs the situation, right? And seeing as only divine wisdom can see, he's going to see that it will accomplish his ultimate purpose. And yet the wicked, even though they won't accomplish their purpose, they're going to be just as guilty as if they did do it, right? They'll be just as guilty as if they carried out those actions to their fulfillment, because God reads the hearts and the motives of men, and he will judge or reward accordingly. How good it is to know, to remind ourselves, that this great controversy that we're in has a conclusion, and we know how it's going to conclude. Right? Isn't that such a wonderful thing to know that ahead of time? 2 Timothy chapter 3, another well-known text. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. In mercy, God warns us of what's coming, doesn't he? Lovers of their own selves. People today, so many of them are putting themselves on the throne and wanting to take God off the throne, aren't they? But we can face the future, not with fear, but with confidence, because in certain parts of the world, peril has already come. Persecution has come in many places of the world, not yet to this area, but I think it won't be long. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And yet Jesus has told us that no one is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. So along with these warnings comes these wonderful promises that if we stay close to Jesus, we're going to be all right. I'm glad to know that too, aren't you? Now here's another beautiful promise, and there's so many of them. Psalm 91. I love this psalm. Memorize this psalm if you haven't already. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where I want to be found in the time of tribulation, don't you? Right there, right under the shadow of the Almighty Comforter and Creator. So it shouldn't surprise us. Sometimes we look out and we say, wow, isn't it getting terrible out there? Well, we've already been told on and on many times that society, we've known this for over 150 years that society was going to decay, right? We've been speaking about it for a long time. It's no surprise to God. It certainly shouldn't be any surprise to us as well. We've been told we're going to go through tribulation times. Now, nobody enjoys tribulation, right? I suppose if they enjoyed it, it wouldn't be tribulation to them. But nobody enjoys it. But the Christian can have peace in the midst of the storm, peace in the midst of the battle, and you know that battle is on, don't you? It's not a cold war anymore. It's a hot war now, isn't it? Right? It's a war that began over 6,000 years ago in heaven, and it's never going to be finished until the one who caused and stirred up all this trouble is gone. And thank God, one day, Satan will be gone. But this war that we're fighting is not just outside the church, friends. Do you know there's a war also going on inside the church? Did you know that? Satan is the instigator of all this strife, and he knows his time is short, and he's making, well, we might say he's making good use of what little time he has left by trying to cause as much strife as he can in the world, but he's also trying to cause a lot of confusion inside the church. And I'll elaborate on what I mean by that. But I want to tell you, friends, if you want to be faithful to Jesus, and I hope that's every one of you here, and I hope that that's every one of us watching at home here today, if you want to be faithful to Jesus, God is going to watch over you in the midst of the battle. And this message this morning, I've told you, it's called The Purposes of God. Why does God allow heresy to come into his church, both from the outside and the inside? Both can happen and both do happen. Why does he even allow that? Why does God allow you to get stuff in the mail, right? All kinds of flyers and different sorts of things that have all this falsehood in it. Acts 20:29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves. What's he talking about? Within, right? Within God's church shall men arise, speaking what kind of things? Perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Why would that happen? God must have a purpose, or he wouldn't allow it. Could God stop that from happening? Yeah, he could. But why doesn't he stop it? Why does he allow our message to get challenged over and over again? 1 John 2:18. Little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So there you have it. They went out that they might be manifest. What does manifest mean? Made clear, right? Or revealed? So what is the purpose to sift out the false-hearted? Take a look at this quote here from Testimonies to the Church. God will arouse his people. If other means fail, what's going to come in? Heresies will come in among them. Does God want to arouse us? Absolutely. But if he can't by any other means, what will he allow happen? Heresies will come in, which will sift them, separating the chaff from the wheat. The Lord calls upon all who believe his word to awake out of sleep. We want to be wide awake, don't we, brothers and sisters? You know, some years ago, I was holding a meeting in Wenatchee. And you all know, I think, where Wenatchee is, so I won't elaborate on that. But that's apple country, right? And so I had a brother from the church say, hey, come on over to the big warehouse here and I'll give you a tour. So I'm always up for that kind of thing. So I said, sure. And so we went into this humongous type building and had just truckloads and truckloads of apple storage in there. And they would take these pallets of apples out of the storage room where they'd been for months on their special temperature and special gases so they stay fresh. And then they would dump these pallet loads onto conveyor belts. And you'd watch them go up these conveyor belts, and these conveyors had holes in them where they were sorting them for size, right? And certain apples would fall through this one, and others would go on, and then more would fall through, and then others would go on, and then it goes on till the end. But I'm watching these apples getting sifted and sorted like this, and I'm thinking about the church. I want to tell you something, friends. Just because you're not fooled by one heresy, be careful that you don't pat yourself on the back. Because in my imagination, as I see those apples coming along, and the medium-sized apples, they're saying, well, we're not going to fall through. We've been through this stage, and that stage, and another stage. We're going right on through, and they drop, right? God will arouse his people. If other means fail, he'll allow heresies to come in, sifting the chaff from the wheat. I say, friends, our only safeguard against being sifted out by some heresy, if not one, then another, is to be sure we are anchored in Jesus and his truth. What do you say? And that we love God, and that we love his church more than we love ourselves and our own opinions. Because, boy, some of us can sure love our own opinions, can't we? Some of the heresies that the devil brings in, I got to tell you, some of these things that you have are so crude and they're so bungling in how they're put together, it's amazing to me that anybody could fall for them. You know. But some do, and the devil always has another one, but I could mention several that I've seen come in over the last 10, 20 years or so, and it seems to be no end to what's coming next. Dear friends, I want you to hear me on this. Our message is sufficient. Can I say that again? Our message is sufficient. We are students of the Bible. We're students of end time prophecy. The problem is that for some, and maybe many, we've just heard it for so long, it loses its impact, right? And yet, there are millions and multi-millions of spiritually starved people out there who are desperate for nourishment, and we've got the serum that they want, right? If we would just fall more in love with the message that we do have, we won't be out searching for some new thing that tickles somebody's ear, right? And that comes along and the devil keeps sending them. We've got the tremendous benefit of the correct understanding of major pillars of faith. That's valuable, friends. You know, when you can put it together like that. We've got thousands of pages of prophetic instruction. Amen. We don't need to waste our time chasing all kinds of end time predictions and the next new heretical thing that comes along. Ephesians 4, you know this verse, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And boy, with the advent of the internet, there's a lot out there to deceive, isn't there? People are rising everywhere saying they've got new truth. Have you noticed? If you have to throw away established truth in order to accept new truth, it's not truth, friends. Because new truth will always stick to old truth. Amen? The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, 1 Corinthians 14. Are some of these people that come along with new ideas, are they good preachers? Yeah. Do they have charisma? Absolutely. Are they dynamic individuals who can tell fantastic stories? Yes. And they can often talk about the Christian home and the Christian life and all these things. But when it comes to the book of Revelation, end time events, they can be as far in the left field as possible. One of the reasons that God purposes for erroneous theories or heresies to come in is, listen now, is to compel us to go to the Bible and find out for ourselves what is truth. Right? It compels us. And if we do that, has not some good been accomplished by it? Remember, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And may I say, and this might be the most important thing I say in all this morning, the thing we need to study is the original sources, the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, right? Go to the original source. Take the time to open the books and read it for yourself. And you won't be relying on someone else to tell you what it means. Perilous times are before us. The enemy is on our track. We must be wide awake, on our guard against him. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must follow the directions given through the spirit of prophecy. We must love and obey the truth for this time. This will save us from accepting strong delusions. What kind of delusions? Strong delusions, right? This is not child's play that's coming along here. Strong delusions. God has spoken to us through his word. Our people need, follow now, our people need to understand the oracles of God. They need to have a systematic knowledge of the principles of revealed truth, which will fit them for what is coming upon the earth and prevent them from being carried about by every wind of doctrine. Are you catching these words, friends? This is powerful stuff. We need a systematic knowledge of truth. Why do you think we go over, we have these seminars, as I mentioned earlier, where we share these beautiful Bible truths with others, but why do you think we go through them in such a systematic way? Verse upon verse, text upon text, here a little, there a little. Why do we do that? So that it sticks in our mind that this is truth. Right? That we didn't just pull it out of a hat somewhere. Right? We didn't just follow some cunning, crafty tradition somewhere. This morning, I'm just going to ask you to join together with us over these next 3 weeks. Many of you have come to all kinds of seminars. If you're a member of this faith, of this church, I know you've been through a lot of seminars. And this is another one. But I'll tell you that when I'm not speaking in this capacity, I love going to these kind of seminars. You know, if Bill was having a seminar, I'm going to go, right? If Roger's having a seminar, I'm going to go, right? Why? Because I never get tired of hearing it. I may have spoken that subject before many times, but you know what? I want to hear, how does he approach it? What text do they use? Is it something that I can learn and grow from? And even if it's the same message, I have heard the same message, the exact same sermon over and over again, and I still get something from it, right? Because you don't get it all the first or second or third time through. So let's not take the position that we're too smart to be deceived. Because that's exactly the kind of person that the devil can deceive. Remember this, that down through the history of this movement, there have been men and women, good men and women, educated men and women, experienced men and women, who have lost their way and they've fallen on the shifting sands of heresy because the enemy succeeded in leading them away from the truth even while they thought that they were following the truth. So just because someone is educated and someone has got experience doesn't mean they can't go out. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it too often, and perhaps you have too, sadly. And I've seen it to happen to people that I never thought it would happen to. You know what I mean? We need the Lord, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to embrace a humility that we are willing to be corrected if our theology and even our lives need to be corrected. We need to have a humility that will accept the counsel of the brethren, godly brethren, if we need it. Amen? Today, the world is so filled with a spiritual darkness. Brothers and sisters, we as a church have come into, being for just such a time as this, haven't we? Right? At the very time you see all of this going around the world, God has called a people to stand out. The purposes of God. God has got a purpose for what's happening on the outside of the church. He's got a purpose for what's happening on the inside of the church, and he's got a purpose for the preaching of this message, doesn't he? You know, I've traveled a lot of miles. My wife and I, in our public ministry, hundreds of thousands of miles over these many years. This passage that you have up on the screen here, it's really been one of the central passages of our church in its formulative times, right? And on down through the many decades. For me to preach this, trying to understand it myself, trying to help others understand it, it's a pretty critical passage. But brothers and sisters, it's a passage that one day is going to come to its full fruition, isn't it? Right? In all of this darkness and chaos, all of this incredible confusion of this world, here are a people that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Right? Oh, I'll tell you what, I want to be one of those people, don't you? Brothers and sisters, we are Adventists not because we say we're Adventists. We are Adventists when we live like Adventists. Amen? It's not the profession of faith that's going to count. It's people that love this message and believe in this message, and they want to live this message with all their hearts. By God's grace, I want to be one of those people, don't you? Now, let me conclude this morning with this. We are just about 10 days away from a national election, and I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know, that we should not be so concerned with what happens in the political scene nearly as much as what is happening in the arena of our own life, and our personal experience with God. There's COVID-19, and there's racism, and there's violence, and there's political and civil unrest, but all of that's going to come to an end, right? But for now, friends, let's keep our eyes on the prize, and let's not get distracted from what God has called us to do. Let's put on every piece of that heavenly armor, right? Because we need it every day, don't we? And we want to pray that in doing so, the Lord has promised to see us through. And I want to pray with you as we close. But before I have our closing prayer, I want to say that tonight we're starting at what time? 6:30. Don't wait till 6:30 to come. Okay? Come early. An empty church is not motivating to people. So come early and fill these seats. There'll be room for our guests. Don't worry about that. There'll be room for them. But come early and set the example, and let it known that you want to arise and let your light shine, okay? I'm looking forward to seeing you and getting to know you better. And again, thank you for having us here. Let's pray together as we close. Gracious Father, our precious Lord, we bow our heads before you in humility. Please prepare us for your coming. May we sense the need of the divine spirit of grace from heaven. May we sense our need of godly counsel, our need to be more and more into the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and getting it right from the source rather than hearing it from some other means where it might have gotten distorted. May we seek that close connection and friendship with our Savior each and every day. And finally, let our light so shine to those you put us in contact with, that we can share a beautiful message with them. All these things, dear Father, we ask. And we ask your blessing on what we're about to do tonight. This venture that we're going into, a little bit on the unknown side because of all the COVID, but Lord, you've called us to ministry. And we ask that you'll work through us to reach people from this community. We thank you, and we trust ourselves into your hands in Jesus' precious name. Amen.